Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass on.
I feel mean.
We cut the Kit Kat a-hole.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of October 21st, 2013. I'm your host, Zach. Joining us tonight, we have Chris.
Hello.
And that's it again.
That's all you need.
Yeah, hopefully Joe will be back next week. I don't know if he's, like, still moving or something, or trying to figure out stuff there, but yeah, hopefully we'll be back. We can talk about a bunch of stuff. Or maybe we can get some guest hosts in there at some point, Chris. I don't know.
Some guest spots.
If it was this shit,
hey, listeners, want to join in and ramble with us?
So anyway, let's get right into the show, because I know we got tons of stuff to talk about, even though it's just two of us. And let's kick it off like news we usually do. And there's a couple trailers to talk about to kick things off. First up, there's the first trailer for Tarzan 3D, which is an animated Tarzan movie coming out possibly next year. It's not really an American release date yet. It's just like it's coming out in Germany in like a month.
It's weird that like it came out in Germany already, right? Like it's just sitting there.
It's like it's gonna be in Germany in like a week or something, and it says like all these other like European release dates, but it doesn't have like an official like U.S. release date yet.
And I talked about this earlier with you, saying, like, Tarzan is an American classic of a movie series.
Well, I mean,
I think it started
in Britain, Chris, because it was, like, Sir Edgar Rice Burroughs.
Yeah, but we've remade it way more times than any other country so far.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Disney. Disney is, like, the last big one I can remember that was, like, Tarzan.
I even considered George the Jungle to be like a Tarzan.
Well, I mean, he's a parody of Tarzan that guy made.
I know, but like still, that was still like a Tarzan-esque show. So.
And there was like three sequels to George the Jungle.
I think two. But and then didn't Tarzan get like a TV series where he lived in like the city and was Tarzan but had clothes?
Probably. I mean, I'm sure it's probably after like Relic Hunter or something on like Saturdays.
Relic Hunter.
Remember that show?
Yeah, but I also remember like there was like at least two or three Tarzan shows like that took place like in modern day over and over again.
Let's see what Wikipedia says. Like,
yeah, there was, in 2003 there was a Tarzan show where he lived in the goddamn city. And then
it says the last live-action Tarzan movie to date was Tarzan and the Lost City from 1998, which starred Casper Van Dien.
And I'm thinking there's Tarzan the TV series that starred.
And then there's one with Christopher Lambert in 1984.
Yes.
Like Greystoke, yes, The Legend of Tarzan, Lord of the Apes.
Then the CW version was Tarzan, and it starred,
Tarzan in Manhattan.
And Jane's a cop. Yeah. And Jane was a cop.
And, then Tarzan
was some guy.
Tarzan the Epic Adventures from 1996, which I'm sure was on like UPN or something. During that, like Saturday morning, like Saturday afternoons or something.
Yeah, it's just like, well, we just like I guess the world just loves making Tarzan movies.
It's public domain, so you're just like, well, we don't have to pay for this, so let's just make a new Tarzan show or movie.
It's like Sherlock Holmes or
anything else, like Three Musketeers or something. Like, you don't, it's public domain, so you're just like, you can just do whatever you want with it, basically.
The story, like, I know, is kind of free to take and
without crediting, but the whole like production isn't free. Like that costs money to fail.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Obviously, you have to pay for like everything.
Everything else.
But I mean, it's not like you're paying like Marvel or something, or like paying like some like other licensed person to like pay the licensing fees, which are like usually like a big chunk of the budget.
But even though Marvel can even like eat another series or character, like they incorporated like Hercules in Marvel
because he's supposed to be
a Marvel character, right? And Tarzan, they incorporated him like three times as different characters. Like well, there was
Marvel,
the, I mean, like,
Marvel used to have like they had like a freaking like Dracula series. Where it was like Dracula running around doing stuff, and then like he fought Blade, and then it was like that was it.
I'm just saying, like, I've seen way too much Tarzan, and I'm not a big fan. And
of this new one, or like just in general.
In general, like I think once every 20 years is fine, but they always like to do it like every 5.
Yeah, was actually
it's like some
I mean,
kid gets orphaned, and then he raised by animals, and then he falls in love with some like white chick who like doesn't know any better.
This one doesn't have a Phil Collins soundtrack either, so
who will be in my heart?
Not Kellan Lutz.
Not Kellan Lutz.
Isn't it weird that he's like Hercules and Tarzan now?
A bit.
And there's also like there's supposed to be like a big like summer blockbuster like live action Tarzan coming, I think next year, or they're gonna start shooting it next year, with like Alexander Skarsgård as Tarzan, and then like Christoph Waltz is the bad guy.
Like, like from Django Unchained, Christoph Waltz.
But yeah, so I mean this animated one looks, and the animation kind of looks like from like it, like on par with like TMNT or Astro Boy or one of those other movies, like definitely not gonna blow anyone away, like animation wise. Like it seems like a very like solid like TV like Cartoon Network show, like a CG Cartoon Network show.
If this was a made for DVD movie, this would be fantastic. Yeah. But the fact that this is coming to theaters,
probably
and
in 3D too.
Yeah, just for no reason.
I kind of like Hoodwinked 2. Like that looked. I can't believe that came out in theaters. Like that it was like that was like sub DVD quality. It was like in theaters in 3D, and they made like they lost like so much money on that movie.
They didn't learn, though. They made, like, a third one where it was, like, straight to DVD,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, so, anyway, so I don't know. Keep an eye on it. Maybe we'll find out if this is coming to America anytime soon. But I think something we're definitely way more excited about is Anchorman 2, The Legend Continues.
Way more compared to Tarzan.
So a new trailer came out today, Wednesday we're recording this, for Anchorman 2. Tons of new stuff in it. It's new to like domestic trailers, but I guess it was in the international trailer possibly. There's like this whole intro to the trailer where like they're in like Ron's RV, and like because like basically Ron gets fired from like whatever like network job he got at the end of Anchorman 1, and now like the entire crew is like heading to New York City for a new network job. And so they're in, like, Ron's RV, and then, like, he's, like, saying that cruise control's on, and, like, just, like, everyone's just sitting in the back, and, like, there's no one driving. And then they crash, and, like, scorpions and bowling balls hit everyone for some reason, because Ron just has bowling balls and scorpions lying around.
I think he might have been living out of his car at that point in the movie.
Well, yeah, because, like, it's, like, he and Veronica are on, like, have, like, their co-anchor network job, and then he like just completely F's it up, and then basically they just replace him with completely with Veronica, and then they all and like basically like GNN calls them and is like, come to New York City, and the whole crew is gonna be like in as like the new network team at GNN.
I mean, I do like that keeping with the time of like the beginning of CNN.
Yeah, it's
kind of
it's set in like the early 80s, how it starts. So it's like the beginning of like 24-hour news.
So that's kind of cool where they're kind of nodding to that kind of how society changed from that wacky 70s to now. The world's different.
I also love, I don't know if it was the international one, but like if the this new trailer starts out with like Brick's funeral, but then Brick is the one giving like the eulogy.
No.
like, Brick, you're not dead. He's like, I'm not dead. Yes!
Nope, I missed that one. See, me and Zach saw different versions of the trailer. I saw the international, and he saw the domestic.
Yeah, I think it's like I don't know if it's like the first full theatrical trailer or like the second theatrical trailer, but it's like definitely a ton of new stuff in this new trailer.
I saw a lot of like crack smoking, and I saw a lot of boob moving, where like they have a report about breast implants.
There's also like this awesome joke where like Brick is like in front of like the green screen for the first time, and he's like wearing green pants.
Oh, he doesn't have legs.
He's like, I don't have legs. Yeah. 94 degrees.
I mean, the comedy here is really good. So like it's, I don't want to spoil so much or like get jokes like beat them to death when I see it in theaters and just be like, yeah, I saw that. Ha ha ha. It's like that moment. But a good chance of it, like, there probably is, like, tons of footage that they're probably going to make another blooper DVD
like
again.
Like a full movie out of the scene.
Like, wake up Ron Burgundy again.
Where they had an entire, like, completely different plot. That was, they filled out an hour, like, an hour of another movie.
You know, I never seen it. Like, I borrowed the DVD from Joe, and it's, like, sitting here, so I gotta watch that eventually before I see, like, the sequel.
Yeah, it's like, Anchorman had a completely different plot. Start like there's this whole thing about like how there's like these eco terrorists who were like going to try to like free the pandas, or they were going to try to kill Ron Burgundy or something.
Wow, I could not predict that from like the first movie.
And it's like and a ton of like new characters that were never nowhere in the original movie.
I'm excited. Like they probably did that again.
Yeah.
For this movie, there probably was like three different plots going on anyway.
Yeah, probably.
And I'm okay with that.
But yeah, I mean, cannot wait. Christmas can't get here soon enough for Anchorman 2.
Again, it's weird that it's coming out in Christmas.
Yeah, like, bring the whole family. Drink some scotch, and then go see Anchorman 2. Oh, did you see the Ben and Jerry's ice cream for the Anchorman 2, Chris?
Yeah, butterscotch
ice cream, butterscotch swirl. That seems like a little bit too much butterscotch.
I feel like you're just eating butterscotch everything. Yeah. You're not tasting ice cream.
Well, it's butterscotch flavored ice cream, so, I mean, it's all you're tasting.
I know, just tasting like old people candy.
Yeah, it's like you're eating like a frozen Werther's. Anyway, so moving on. Actually, speaking of Christmas movies, one movie that was supposed to come out around Christmas that is not now is The Monuments Men, which is going to be it was George Clooney, Matt Damon, Bill Murray, John Goodman, kind of based on a true story, World War II movie. And apparently it got pushed back to like sort of the beginning of 2014. And I guess it's because they're still trying to they're basically like it would not be ready in time. They're still working on like special like the visual effects shots and trying to get the music all ready. So they I guess George Clooney said they could have gotten it out, but it would have been awful. So or not like it would have been like not up to what they wanted it to be. So they just decided not to put it out until like sometime next year. I don't know. I was excited to see that one. I don't know. Were you interested in that one, Chris?
Yeah. It kind of looks like a Paul S. Anderson movie. You know?
Yeah. It kind of seemed like Saving Private Ryan mixed with
Ocean's 11
or like Hogan's Heroes or something, where it's like kind of a comedy, but it's also in World War II and like serious stuff happening.
Yeah, it's like for the subject matter, it should be a drama.
Yeah.
But the way it's presented, it's like a comedy. It made it seem like it's a good time.
Weirdly, I saw Captain Phillips last night, which we'll get into in a little bit. But they had a trailer before Captain Phillips of Monuments Men that was like completely dead serious.
Really? This one with, like, everyone's crying?
Yeah, and they're all like, we have to protect the culture. We must protect the art. And there wasn't any of, like, the wacky, like, them training and, like, being awful. And, like, Matt Damon stepping on a landmine and, like, almost getting, and, like, having to figure out how to get it off without blowing up. And then Bill Murray acting like Bill Murray. So, yeah, so first quarter of 2014, which I guess is going to be probably sometime before the summer starts. I'm guessing probably, like, maybe, like, late winter, early spring. And it's not going to be able to be, like, an Oscar contender at all this year then, because you have to put it out before the end of the year, so it's going to miss being, like, an Oscar consideration. But I guess it'll be, like, if people remember it came out, it'll be for, like, the 2015 Oscars. So, anyway, moving on to other stuff. Netflix, actually, I think they just released their, like, earnings for, like, the last quarter or something like that. And it seems like their, like, DVD is becoming an even smaller percentage of their, say, like, their total, like, income. Like, streaming is just completely just, like, 89%.
Dominating. 89%
of their income is from streaming. So, they announced they're actually, like, obviously they announced they're going to do more streaming stuff. And they actually announced they're going to do, in addition to, like, more original shows, they're going to start, they're probably going to get into, like, original movies as well. And they said they're going to start out with, like, documentaries, first. But then they'll probably, they're going to definitely look into, like, doing, like, actual, like, scripted movies that are, like, original from Netflix sometime in the near future.
I mean, they tried the gamble, and it's paid out, which is great, because we get, like, you know, shows you want to watch.
Yeah. Well, for the most part.
But then, like, I got a feeling it could go wrong somewhere down the line, and they get too big and get greedy, and then they do something where it's like, you got to be a Netflix Gold member, and then it's like,
yeah.
What? And then it's like, you know, then you got to pay for, like, an extra $10 to get, like, the exclusive before it comes to streaming.
Or it's like everything is streaming, but then, like, if you want to, like, watch this original movie when it first comes out, you have to, like, pay in, like, an extra rental fee or something, or...
Right, yeah, and, like, that's where I'm like, shit, like, that's where it can go downhill.
I feel like, I mean, hopefully they learned, because they've had some, like, ridiculously awful things blow up in their face in the past. Like, remember when they tried to change their name to Quickster?
Wasn't that just for the DVD service
yeah.
only?
So it was, like, Netflix and then Quickster, and everyone was like, what the fuck? And then when they did, like, they changed the entire, like, pricing structure, and that was just, like, it seemed like the world was ending, because everyone was like, Netflix! Ah! But I mean, it's $8 for streaming is solid for what you get on it. And I mean, depending on what documentaries, I would be kind of interested in those. But if they do some, like, original, like, I don't know, horror or sci-fi, like, action or comedy or whatever, like some, like, actual, like, scripted movies, I'd definitely be interested to see, like, what they would be doing for those. And, like, who would they get into to sort of, like, star in them? Because, I mean, they've gotten, like, some pretty big, like, directors and pretty big names for their original stuff already. So, I think it'd definitely be, like, above, like, what you see from, like, direct-to-DVD movies. It'd probably be, like a more, like, toward, like, an indie, like, actual, like, theatrical indie movie, kind of, maybe, or something.
I mean, the possibilities are mm-hmm. endless, since it has all these options, and it has all this money, that they could venture into something weird,
like to see
and
them,
then...
Like, if they could, like, just have, like, different brands that have, like, Netflix action, and Netflix sci-fi, and Netflix horror, or something. Have each studio is like they have like a Netflix studio that's for those movies.
Oh man, it's just falling down the rabbit hole of like other new problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know. So we'll keep an eye on that one and find out if we get more info on that as it comes up. So we've got another stuff. Just quick awesome news. Sherlock Season 3 starts in January on PBS.
Which is still kind of weird that it comes to PBS before BBC America.
I think they said it's going to be before, like, BBC America is still going to be before. They haven't announced, like, the BBC date yet, though.
I mean, just the fact that BBC's making this, but the fact that it goes to PBS and some weird rights, you know, it just goes there first.
Yeah, because, like, somehow PBS got the right, like, and it's like Masterpiece Mystery. And then it should be on Netflix, like, a couple months after that, so that's probably where I'll catch it, is on Netflix. And cool. we can finally find out what the hell happened in that ridiculous cliffhanger at the end of season 2.
I do like BBC begged everyone in the UK not to spoil anything for like the American audience. They're just like, hey, please don't spoil that like weird
crazy
mystery.
And they're
where even today I just like I don't know what the hell happened.
Hopefully, like, right off the bat, they'll just explain it and be like, okay. And it's not, like, a season-long, like, we'll get bits and pieces of it, and, like, for each episode, and then finally, like, last episode, we'll figure out exactly what happened.
It was all the dream.
Possibly.
I know, like, it could be that. I'm still like, what? Yeah. Please don't let it be that, where it's like, yeah, we gassed everyone in UK.
He got, like, the prestige, like, cloning technology or something.
I'm so smart, I cloned myself, just in case of these problems.
Yeah. So, moving on, there's actually a little bit of classics movies getting sequel news this week. So apparently, Tim Burton is pretty close to signing on to direct the sequel to Beetlejuice.
Yeah, the long-awaited sequel from, like, 26 years ago.
Beetlejuice Goes Hawaiian!
Which, I really hope they stick with that title. Because it's, like, isn't that, like, it's an industry phrase they've used that as.
Yeah.
So, now it's, like, and it's been, like, this running joke about Beetlejuice Goes Hawaiian, and now it's, like, it's actually happening.
I don't think it's going to be exactly Beetlejuice Goes Hawaiian, because that's, like, that was just, like, a weird canceled script that never got... will never be seen
right,
again.
Right, but I'm saying, like, that's why Beetlejuice never got a sequel, is because it's, like, well...
The awful movie... idea for a sequel, and everyone was like, no.
Well, Tim Burton didn't want to do it. He was just like, fuck it, like, I'll make the worst idea of a sequel ever. So I don't have to... Because he's not a big fan of making sequels. It's just something he's, like, he says he doesn't like to do all the time. So it's like, oh, I get it. And then he did that as, like, a move, but, I mean, money changes you, so... I don't know why he's decided to go back. I mean, I kind of want, like, a reboot, a gritty reboot than an actual sequel. That's just
like,
me.
Like, Beetlejuice is, like, a horrible monster who just, like, is, like, actually, like, killing people and stuff, and, like, it's super
Beetlejuice,
dark, and, like...
Yeah, like, I want a dark, gritty Beetlejuice, like a Saw-esque Beetlejuice than, like, some drunk guy. So, like, Beetlejuice is, like, some crazy uncle that comes to your party.
Like, it's, like... So they summon Beetlejuice and just, like, he just, like, tortures them. And then it's just like, God, how we gotta figure out how to get rid of this Beetlejuice guy or he's gonna murder us.
Yeah, like, I want something like that.
It's being written by Seth Graham Smith, who wrote Pride and Prejudice and Zombies and Abe Lincoln and Vampire Hunter. And also wrote Dark Shadows, the movie, which was awful.
You know, Dark Shadows was so good. He's like, yeah, I'm going to do
this. Tim Burton's just like, yes, I want this guy. I think, and I guess Tim Burton was originally supposed to be like a producer on it. But yeah, it seems like he's definitely in talks to direct it. Then Michael Keaton is going to most likely come back as Beetlejuice. I mean, if he doesn't come back as Beetlejuice, like, I don't know what the point of that is. If Michael Keaton's not Beetlejuice. Yep.
I would love to see him as Beetlejuice again.
I'd like to see it, like, just, like, they make everything for the cartoon action. And just have all, it's just, like, in, like, the netherworld with, like, all of his, like, wacky neighbors. Like, Jacques the Skeleton. And the spider, which I can't remember her name, but she was always tap-dancing.
Was she always, like, tap-dancing? Yeah.
And there was, like, a monster that was just, like, the monster who lived next door or something. And then, like, the evil, like, clown. Like, I think it was, like, Scuzzo the Clown. It was, like, his main enemy.
Kind of impressed that you know these names. I totally forgot, like, all of them besides Lithia.
Lydia. Yeah. Which, actually, Winona Ryder is not... There's, like, no word if she would come back or not.
I mean, it didn't really need her if they want to do a Beetlejuice movie. It's weird how it's, like, the movie's called Beetlejuice. You
could just have anybody, and just Beetlejuice shows up and Fs with them.
Yep.
They should get, like, Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis to come back. And they're just still ghosts in that house.
Huh. We can't leave.
And then other classic sequel news. Bruce Campbell confirmed that Army of Darkness 2 is underway in development.
Yay! But weird. I mean, I kind of want to see an Evil Dead 2.
Like new Evil Dead 2? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we speculated about the chance that it could be just a crossover.
Like, if you go back to a couple of, like, search on the Everything Action, like, for, like, Evil Dead, for whatever podcast we talk about it on, we talked about, like, how their grand plan is to do Evil Dead 2, Army of Darkness 2, and then a crossover movie, which is, like, would combine the new Evil Dead universe with, like, Bruce Campbell classic Evil Dead universe. Which, if that actually happens, it would be amazing.
I mean, I got a feeling it might be like that. So, it'd be amazing. Yeah. It would be awesome, and it would make sense.
I don't know, what would you want to see from, like, Army of Darkness 2?
I don't know, I kind of like the idea of, like, another Ash that's, like, evil. Like, where it's evil clone Ash. So I kind of want to see that again happen, where it's like, Because I remember that was, like, a vivid thing in my childhood.
Yeah. Have you read any of the comics?
I've read the one where it's like takes place right after Army of Darkness, where like he brings back that woman,
and then then the wizard shows up and he has to like go back to the cabin.
Yep, I saw that one. I read that one, and then I read the one where it's like him versus Jason versus Freddy.
They had one that was him versus Reanimator.
I saw the cover of that one.
And I guess they're doing they're gonna like because like. They're going to totally reboot, like, the Army of Darkness comics and, like, make it, like, bring it back to, like, its direct sequel to the movie and then, like, kind of more, like, more realistic, more, like, in tone, like, because I don't, like, the comics they've been doing are, like, have been, like, super, super cartoony, like, almost like, it's like the real Ghostbusters or something, but Evil Dead. Where it's just, like, crazy goofiness happening. I guess it'll be like this new comic they're doing is gonna be like a little bit more serious, kind of like a little more scary, but like still has like the dark humor that's always been in the Evil Dead series. I forget who's putting that. I think it was like Boom or someone is doing those, or Dynamite or something, like one of those kind of studios.
I think it was Dynamite.
Because they also did, like, the Expendables comic.
Not going to lie, I don't remember that coming out.
It was two-issue, like, mini event or something. Or, like, special. And I think it was like a prequel or something. Or, like, yeah, I think it was, like, a prequel to, like, Expendables 1. But moving on to last bit of news for this week. I think maybe probably for like the Almost Human press tour or something, but Roberto Orsi, who is one half of the Kurtzman Orsi duo, he is he's like the producer and I think writer on a couple of the upcoming like Universal reboots. Like they have the new Mummy movie. It's like you're gonna reboot the Mummy franchise, and then also a new Van Helsing. And I guess he was saying in an interview that they're gonna Universal might be trying to do like kind of like a Marvel idea where they're gonna, for all these reboots they're doing of their Universal monsters, you're gonna make them in the same universe. And so like potentially they could like cross over and then, or also like lead into the next one or do like whatever like other anything else that Marvel does, you know.
That's cool. They usually do that for like special movies, but the fact they're gonna establish that in one is pretty cool. And I always enjoy when it's all in the same universe. It's always weird when it's like each movie. It's kind of like, I'm a freak and I'm the only one.
It'd be cool like if like, I don't know, if they do like a Frankenstein or something, and like they use like, if someone like comes over and like finds the tech that like Dr. Frankenstein used, and uses it like in the next movie to do something else with it or something, or like Dr. Frankenstein shows up in like another movie to like help someone.
Well,
or...
careful. We got Van Helsing from that universe, so it was cool on paper, but in execution, I was like, what the hell is going on in this movie?
Yeah. And hopefully these new movies are like better than like. Well, I mean, Universal they've already tried to do like the Wolfman, and that was pretty goddamn awful.
You know, I didn't see it. It looked really nice, you know? It has an all-star cast, but I guess
the world just was not ready. The look of it was the best part. Like, it definitely had, like, a cool, like, atmosphere, and it looked pretty good, but it was just, the story was so stupid, and, like, the ending, it was just, like, one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. And, I don't know, I mean, like, the Brendan Fraser mummies, like, the first two were good. I guess this new one they're doing is gonna be, like, kind of, like, darker and more serious.
I mean, are they rebooting basically the mummy, that series, or the concept of the mummy again?
The concept of the mummy, like, it's just, like, yeah.
Okay.
And I guess they're gonna, and then Van Helsing, which is gonna be, like, it's not gonna be, like, Hugh Jackman, like, ridiculous weapons and like crazy action. I think it's more like the classic Van Helsing where he's like monster hunter.
I had hopes where like he was just a guy that's really, who's trained really well to hunt monsters. Not some, hey, I'm an angel. Like, what? Yes, yeah, like, it turns out I'm an angel.
Werewolf angel.
It's like, wait, forget the gadgets. Let's go back and bring this down. He was an angel that came to Earth. Yeah. That can be transformed to a werewolf?
Yeah. Dracula was an angel, and then also possibly Satan.
No, he was another angel. Then,
Hugh Jackman killed him, and that's why it became Dracula.
Yeah, that part I didn't get. Yeah, and then, apparently if you kill an angel, they have a percentage becoming either Dracula, or they don't know who they are. Like,
and then, like, also werewolves and also, like, Frankenstein's monster is, like, the energy source to, like, power of Dracula's babies.
Which, a stupid question about that was, like, so Dracula wants kids that are dead, that need the power of a Frankenstein?
They're all dead, so they get born dead, and they have to, like, bring them to life instead of bringing them to, like, they're starting out dead and then becoming alive, I guess, or something. I don't know.
Yeah, more complicated.
Like, wives just give birth to like these like disgusting sacks of like dead baby. And where they cut, like, there's like a million of them. So like, I don't know what is going on downstairs for those like vampire brides. And then it was like, and then Dracula could like, he could like control werewolves apparently, because he could, or like, it was like, if before, like, the first full moon or something, he like had control over werewolves, or like until like the first full moon, like he didn't have control, and then like, after that he had control of them or something. It was like some really stupid rule about how Dracula could control werewolves.
No. It was like up until a certain amount of moon cycles, the wolf is under their own control up until Dracula yelling at them. And then they can never go back to being human again,
they're never out of Draco's control. And then it's like, Hugh Jackman had like literally like 5 minutes before like the moon changed to kill Dracula in the end.
And then the fact that like Kate Beckinsale was somehow shoehorned into this movie.
And then she died and became like a ghost cloud,
cloud.
God, we should just watch Van Helsing as like a commentary.
I think that's our second drunk commentary besides Ghost Cat.
It's just like Van Helsing. Because it has like all the monsters in it besides the mummy. And the creature from Black Lagoon. Which they should have shoehorned that, like, the creature from Black Lagoon in as like just some random thing they had to fight.
Well, you know, best movie with all those creatures, though. Monster Squad.
Yeah, Monster Squad is amazing. I was gonna say, like, doesn't Van Helsing fight like fucking like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde too?
In the beginning. So it was just like their weird take on Monster like Squad.
Was that like the prequel movie too? Right? Was like he was hunting down
the London assignment.
Yeah, he was hunting down Mr. Hyde, and then like it ends with like where the movie starts.
Yep. And again, no one saw the cartoon enough to care. To then make a sequel or anything. It was just like, oh, the movie did terrible, but we already made the cartoon, you know?
You just had like a machine gun crossbow and like that grenade that like exploded like sunlight. Like it basically created a sun. Man, that was a stupid movie. hopefully the new Van Helsing is like not like half as stupid as that movie. It might be like 100 times better. I definitely like to see like a new like Creature from the Black Lagoon too, and like maybe like a new. Well, I guess we have Dracula on NBC coming up like end of this week. But I wonder if they do like a new like movie Dracula.
I mean, Dracula movies out in batches.
They were. Because wasn't Luke Evans going to be Dracula, I thought?
In the NBC one? Or like a
Jonathan Rhys-Meyers is Dracula in the NBC one. But I guess
I'm not saying. The movie we're talking about?
Like a movie, I think they were talking about like Luke Evans would be Dracula.
Yeah, I can see it. He's got that look.
Mm-hmm. And like a new Frankenstein is not I, Frankenstein.
dude, I, Frankenstein is like back to that Van Helsing formula of just like crazy shenanigans, and like, does this make sense? Underworld. No, put it in anyway. Oh my god.
So, anyway, that's it for news this week. Unless there's anything else you can think of, Chris, we need to talk about.
No, I think we covered a lot. Somehow we delve into Helsing.
The entire history of Van Helsing. So let's get into Human Shonda for the week. And our pick of the week is actually something we saw at New York Comic Con, and we talked about last week. Necessary Evil, supervillains of the DC Universe.
Did we talk about this?
Yeah, we talked about it last week.
Yeah.
We saw it at Comic-Con. It was pretty, like, if you want a very, very good overview of, like, every DC supervillain, like, you should definitely check this movie out. Because they go into, like, some pretty deep cuts from the DC supervillain list. It's a good, like, and it's just, like, a good, like, you get, like, a brief backstory of, like, who they are, and then who they fight, and then kind of, like, some of the, like, one of the big, like, one or two big events they've been, like, involved in and stuff, so. And then a little bit of, like, psychology of, like, why they're villains and stuff, and, like, what makes a villain. So it's a fun documentary.
Again, I can't believe there is a documentary about DC villains, though. Like, that's breaking new grounds of weird documentaries.
Well, I mean, it's produced by DC, so they're like, well, they're just like, whatever, let's just make this.
I know, but and still, I, just
and,
like...
And it's... obviously kind of a tie into because they just had Villains Month, so. Where, like, every DC book was a villain book. So, also, this week we have The Conjuring, which I don't think any of us have seen, but I definitely want to check it out at some point. I know Joe is probably definitely was excited to see it. What about you, Chris?
He probably owns it. He probably owns it.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get, hear about that from him in a little bit. Did ridiculously well at the box office, like, one of the biggest movies of the year. Definitely, I think it's, like, probably, I think it's in, if not the best horror movie, like, in top, like, definitely top five, like, overall horror movies, like, of all time. Like, in terms of just, like, money. And actually, I think I read, like, this year has been, like a ridiculously good year for horror movies, because, like, Evil Dead, Purge, and Conjuring were all, like, the number one movies the weekend they came out. And they made, like, a ton of money.
Man, I forgot about The Purge, because it was, like, all about it, marketing for, like, the first month, and then kind of went away.
And that was,
I didn't hear it was good
was
or not.
That was even crazier, because it was, like, right at the beginning of summer, and then, like, Iron Man 3 was still out, and, like, a bunch of other big movies, and it still was, like, the number one movie at the box office. So we also have this week, The Internship.
You mean Google, the movie?
Yeah, the hour and a half Google commercial. It's unrated now, though, Chris.
I don't know what that means.
I think it was only, like, PG-15 to begin with, so.
I mean, it's kind of like, hey, you do, like, wedding planners? Sure. How about we take all the things that made that funny, like, sex and, like, derogatory terms for women, and just replace that with
out of date nerd jokes.
And it's weird for like Owen Wilson. Like the part I really don't understand is that they were supposed to be like their character is supposed to be like so anti technology, and they land up in Google, you know, to be a part of like the nerd integration.
Yeah. How did?
But in reality, they would never get past the opening interview.
I forget even what they do with like when they get fired from. They're like watch salesmen or something or some sort of like.
Salesmen.
And
they don't believe in the internet.
They have no concept like how the internet works, and yet they get an internship opportunity at Google.
I mean, if these were like 60 to the 70-year-old like close to retiree people, this movie would make sense.
Yeah.
You know? Like very old, past middle age. But it's Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn, and it's like these guys were around when like the internet was like up and coming, and
yeah, she at least know like how a webcam works or something, right?
Yeah, it's like that part was really hard to watch in the trailer. I was like, I don't believe them. Like, that's the thing. They had no believability. It's just I feel this is like a spiritual sequel to Wedding Planners,
yeah,
but like in a different setting.
Wedding Crashers, you mean, Chris?
Yeah, Wedding Crash, Wedding Planner. Yeah, you know what I'm talking
Not
about.
The Wedding Planner.
I mean, just want J-Lo to pop into this movie.
We also have the Uninvited joined the Criterion Collection. I don't think that one was a remake. The one that came out like last year. It was also called the Uninvited.
I don't. Yeah,
remember. This is like a 40s or 50s like classic black and white horror movie. Also have Only God Forgives, which has been super super divisive. Like either you love it or hate it. I thought it was pretty awesome. I have a review up on the site. You can go check out. Just ridiculously stylish, ridiculously violent. It doesn't have basically there's no story, but if you like want to go see some awesome imagery and like cool violence, then definitely check it out. It's definitely like if you thought Drive was too artsy or too complicated, then Only God Forgives is gonna be even more like incoherent to you. Like this is like a deep a deeper cut of like Next Step after Drive if you like want to like get into like Nicholas Winding Refn.
I feel like it's more of an art house film than an actual like general population
movie. I would say like 80% of people should not see this movie. It's for a very specific like you have to be in a specific mindset and a specific like mood to be able to like enjoy this movie, I think. Also have Dead in Tombstone, which is Danny Trejo, Western, with Mickey Rourke and Anthony Michael Hall and a bunch of other people. And it's like Danny Trejo gets killed but then brought back to life and he tries to get revenge on the people who killed him.
It's funny because in most movies, Danny Trejo gets killed anyway. Yeah. And then it's like, hey, this is the movie where he dies really fast and he gets a second chance.
Also have Nikita, season 3. Have never seen that show. Primeval New World, the complete series, which I think it's like the 5th or 6th season of Primeval, and they just completely rebooted it and like brought it to America, and it got canceled. But yeah, I mean, basic premise is these weird like time rifts opening and dinosaurs come out, and then they have to like figure out a way to stop dinosaurs and put them back in time rifts. I think if you want the first couple seasons are Netflix, and they're actually like the first couple seasons are pretty awesome. And then it's kind of like they like replace the cast like every season after like the, like I would say after season 3 they like, basically replace the entire cast, and then it went like kind of like crazy and stupid.
Yeah, the first couple seasons we're
checking out if you're like just like for like fun like Monster of the Week episodes. Bruce Lee Legacy Collection, which is a bunch of Bruce Lee movies on Blu-ray. And I'm pretty sure most, like, just pretty much most, like, whatever, all of them, pretty much.
It's only, like, less than 7 movies.
Yeah, so...
He wasn't in a lot of movies, so it's not like he made this big legacy. They're great movies, some of them. Some of them are a little weird to watch, and the only ones people remember are the last, like, 3, so... Not exactly the. It wasn't exactly like the biggest collection.
Yeah, it's 11 discs for.
Yeah.
And then last thing out this week is Digimon seasons 1 through 4.
Hey, look at that! It took them 12 years.
Yeah. They talk about like basically cast every season. Like, every season that, like, it was basically, like, all new characters. Maybe, like, one person from the previous season.
I only stopped when they, from the movie, so I don't remember anything after that.
I think I watched,
that.
Like, the first 2 seasons when I was, like, a kid.
First season's pretty awesome. Second season's, like, okay, then they got to the god form. And then after that, I don't remember. It goes dark.
So, since this is new releases, so why don't we get into a show and tell for this week. And, Chris, what'd you watch?
I saw Rush. Yeah. Are you familiar with the background of Rush?
Yep. Based on a true story of, like, 70s Formula One racers.
Yep, back when, like, Formula One was just like, let's just put fiberglass, an engine, a giant fuel tank under your seat, and that's it. There's, like, no safety, there's no, like, it's like, you just wore, like, a wool like sweater and you put a helmet on and that's off you went. And it was like from what I learned about it, it was like it's from like the weird gritty days of Formula One racing where, you know, safety wasn't really a concern, it was just how fast you went, and death was just like a thing. It was just like, yeah, every year we lose like 4 people. Yeah. And it's just like everyone's normal with it. And no one's like going, hey, you're just racing. You're not trying to like fight something, you're not trying to solve a problem, you're just racing. But in the movie, just like it points that out.
You gotta get that sponsorship, man. You gotta get that Ferrari sponsorship.
And that's like a secondary thing, but like I'm saying, like the point was just like how fun is it to go fast, the movie. And it's like, what will you be willing to sacrifice to go fast? And yeah, like it's really good. It's a story about James Hunt and Niki Lauda, who are at the time, like, arguably the best racers in F1 racing. And they, the movie's about their rivalry, and they do that Hollywood thing where it's, like, super aggressive, and it's, like, very confrontational in the sense where it's, like, none of them will, they don't fight each other, like, physically. They do, like, mental
like
games, and they do, like,
stuff.
Like, slowly. They do, like, weird things, like, little, like, shots at each other about, like, hey,
it's like, I see you drinking. Get out of my face.
You're weak. Like, nothing like that, but close to it, though. It tries to do that. I think if Niki Lauda wasn't alive, they probably would write it to be that way. But the fact that it's like, oh, he's actually alive,
like,
and he'd be,
like,
might be a little
like
bit
dramatic, pissed. Like, real-life, like, Talladega Nights.
It is. The thing is, I saw Talladega Nights way before I saw Rush. Like, you know, I saw that first in theaters. And this is, like, the same concept. And Rush is, like, more realistic in the sense where it's harder driving, because Formula One driving is like you go 60 laps and you're making all these turns, you're really like afraid if your tank's gonna blow up since you overheat your car. And yeah, it like I didn't really read up on the background of the history of the racers, because I kind of know, like, James Hunt died in the 90s, and Niki Lauda, like, still was walking around, but he had a horrific accident. Yeah. And the movie's about that accident. But, like, the climax of the movie is around that accident. So it's kind of like talking about the Titanic, where you kind of know what happens, and we're kind of living after, the post part. But, yeah, the one thing the movie got wrong and from what a lot of people are saying was that like Niki Lauda and James Hunt were like really good friends, and their rivalry was like on the track, yeah, but off the track they like hung out and like they talked a lot and they knew each other, like they weren't just like stranger, you're my new rival now. So they kind of embellished the fact that like Niki Lauda is just like, yeah, I never want to be friends with you. You're an asshole, like, and. In real life, like, they were roommates at one point. Like, you know, to go from, like, rivals, I get that, and they intensify the fuck out of it, where it's like, yeah, fuck you, like, hope you stop racing. So in the real life, where it's like, you beat me, good for you. Yeah. You know, like, there's a difference. So it's shot really well. The pacing's really well done. Except for, you know, unlike, they have to do this in most racing movies, where basically, they do one lap, and that's the whole race.
It's like lap one, you know? Finish, and it's like, and then lap 200, whatever.
Yeah, so unlike, and it's really funny because the first big race where it's like, yeah, Formula One, I did it, because you know they show like the beginning where they qualified and their struggles to get there, but then like then they do that weird montage thing where it's like the first race. And it's like, you don't even see that big race. You're just like, oh, he wins. Like,
wins.
It's like, yeah, it's like a little text pops up as just, by the way, he wins it. Like, yeah, I was like, wait, what? I don't even get to see that? Yeah, you lazy bastard. Like, that happens. It happens a lot of times. Or when it's like, he gets in the car, he starts up the engine, they do one lap, and it's like, I did it. It's like, wait, there's still like 60-something laps left in this race.
James Hunt. And,
yeah, just like, what? So, yeah, and then it's like, yeah, they did show the whole races. We'll be here for, like, a week just watching, like, nothing. So I thought that was hilarious because they go down, like, 2 years worth of races in, like, under 10 minutes. And it's just like, wow, I could do that race. It seemed really easy.
Do they drive F1 cars to Los Angeles at any point, Chris?
No, it's not fucking...
Driven.
What's that? Driven. Oh, my God.
The last prominent F1 movie.
I saw that movie too. I didn't see that in theaters, but I saw that fucking movie.
Actually, the weird thing about that one was like they couldn't get the rights to F1, so they're like, because like Rush has like it's like
that's
Ferrari,
the official.
They have
that's,
all the car names, and like this one is like Driver was like all these like obviously knockoff names for everything. And it was like it wasn't like the F1; it was like some other like made up circuit. Because, like, obviously you have to pay, like, Ferrari and everyone there for the right to use their names.
Yeah, yeah. So the branding here is, like, really well done. It kind of made me want to go to an F1 racing, kind of seeing it. But, I mean, I saw that in Iron Man and nothing really happened.
Yeah.
Like,
Whiplash didn't show up at any point.
Whiplash didn't show
then,
up.
Like,
yeah, I mean,
then,
think about
then,
it. We have
yeah,
people
like,
driving
Whiplash
the
shows
car.
Up, and, like, Chris Edwards, like, hits, like, a walking stick on the floor and becomes Thor. Just like in like the classic comics, I'm like he's in like James Hunt was just my cover.
Yeah, when I like carry this wooden stick and smash it to the ground, I'm actually Thor. which, again, they didn't do that in the movies, but I'm fine with. But, I mean, I kind of said that to myself during the movie, because it's like, okay, because they showed to the point where, like, James Hunt dies. Spoiler alert, where it's like, yeah, he died spoiler, when he was, like, 45. Spoiler
for real life.
Spoiler for, like, yeah. History. And so, like, I was like, no, he didn't die. He became four. Yeah. Like, he just went back to Valhalla. Yeah. He went back on the Rainbow Road.
Asgard.
So, I mean, it's really good. It's besides Chris Hemsworth, the, like, Niki Lauda guy is done by...
Daniel Brühl.
Who's also with, like, who the Fifth was, State. Like, I didn't see
I've
the Fifth
State.
It was the nice... the nice German from Inglourious Basterds.
Yep, mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, I recognized him, and holy shit, is he like, can he just not be a German guy, like, in any movie now?
Well, is he German?
Well, yeah, like, he is European. But it's just like, and Niki Lauda is German, like, he's Austrian, so. And it's weird, because Niki Lauda is, like, Austrian, and this dude is like a weird whatchamacallit, like, he's not an Austrian, and he's got an accent. It sounds more Swedish than German.
I thought it was like French or something.
He can speak German though.
French or like Italian or something like that. Anyway, you see anything else, Chris?
No, he's actually like from Germany, but he grew up in Spain.
Okay.
So he's had this, like, horrible European
he do anything.
Accent
he's,
going on.
He's just European.
Yeah, he's just European, man. If you need a Nazi, if you need a Spaniard...
A mafia guy.
If you need someone to fight Bourne for no reason,
yes,
that's, like...
exactly.
People. So, yeah.
And did you see anything else, Chris?
I finally saw Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you were right. Like, it starts off like a second season series where, like, everything's established. You don't really need to know a lot of characters. You just kind of recognize them. They have, like, their roles. Like, they know who they are. It's not like the, like, next five episodes where it's like, I decided to be the nice guy now.
It's not like Parks and Rec or, like, The Office where it was, like, it took, like, an entire first season to figure out what the characters were.
Yeah, like, It feels like they rehearsed this for a couple times, and then they cut a lot, and then just went for, like, the midpoint. You know, like, they didn't try to, like, have the origin story, like, told right off the bat, where it's like, I wanted to be a cop, but I decided to be lazy. It was just kind of like, this is me.
I like that Andy Samberg is, like, super competent. Like, he's actually, like, an awesome detective. He's just, like, he's just, like, goofy as well.
You know what I kind of wish, if they never did this, what this could have been? Now, this might be blasphemy. This could have been an awesome police academy. Like, imagine that.
Yeah.
They just rebrand the franchise, change things around, and just call us Police Academy. Like, the early years, or the later years, or something.
College years.
You know, like, I mean, just... the comedy writing, the situational stuff, the fact that, like, they disregard a lot of police procedures, that could have been police.
I do also like that they're, like, they're investigating, like, actual, like, serious crimes too, like murders.
But they do it so lightheartedly, which, like, I guess after a few years of doing it, like, you will try to find the humor in it, just to cope with it. And instead of, like, having that dramatic effect, they're just kind of like, and we've been doing this for years now, so we're all kind of crazy in a small way.
Yeah. And, like, yeah, all the characters are great already. Like, Andre Brower is the new captain.
Andre Brower is the same character from the submarine series that was on.
Last Resort.
From, like, The Last Resort. I was like, wait, he just, like, put on a cop uniform.
I think it was the third episode or fourth episode, but there was, like, this whole running joke where, like, everyone was just like, I can't read that guy. And they could do, like, these flashbacks of, like, them, like, people, like, talking to him, and he's like, it's like, Captain, what's wrong? He's like, nothing's wrong. I actually just read this very humorous story on the internet, and I'm laughing. And it was very humorous. But he just says it like completely, like, everything he says is completely deadpan, so, like, no one knows what if he's happy or sad.
I mean, it's the humor about it, and the fact that this character exists just to have that stern, like, deadpan. He's kind of like that,
Leslie Nielsen of the series.
Or because Parks and Rec, Michael Schur also did Parks and Rec. He's like the Ron Swanson.
Yes. Yes.
And I love like Joe Latruglio. It's like the just just accident prone, just like wet blanket.
He is an HR nightmare. Yeah. In the sense where he does everything, and it's like everyone should be worried about
Terry Crews is like just like scared to go out to the field.
I do like that his wife that you don't see is always like some sort of factor to his day job.
I don't think you saw in that episode you watched, but like the whole thing is like he freaked out and like shot a mannequin because they're like doing like this raid and like he saw like a mannequin and freaked out and just like unloaded an entire clip into it. And now he just doesn't want to fire a gun anymore. He's like, just like, will not go out on the field anymore. Even though he's like their best marksman.
I mean, I'll get into it.
It's definitely one of the best new shows.
Yeah, like I'm happy I stuck with that first. So let's see.
Yeah, as far as like comedies go, like that and the Goldbergs is also really awesome.
Mm-hmm. I know Joe was talking about it, describing it, so I want to get into it when I have time.
Yeah, it's like Wonder Years if it was in the 80s and like way more comedy. So anything else, Chris?
No, that's it. What about you, Zach?
Well, I actually saw a ton of stuff. Actually, I guess stick with TV for quick. I saw Toy Story of Terror. Did you hear about that or see that, Chris?
I missed it.
It was a special that was on ABC last Wednesday. It was a Halloween special. And basically what it was is that the Toy Story gang, it was like kind of like a, not like the full gang, but like this like, it was like Woody, Buzz, Jesse, Rex, Mr. Prickle Pants. I can't remember the Triceratops is with Christian Schaal. I can't remember the name. Trixie. Like they're like Bonnie and her mom are going to like their grandma's house and they stop it. They basically like the gang is like in the trunk watching a horror movie, and it's the best part. Like one of the best parts is that Mr. Prickle Pants is like basically like the Randy from Scream of the group. He's like this horror expert who, like knows like every beat of a horror movie. So basically, like the whole special is like describing like what's going to happen next, and then they get a flat tire, so they have to like stay at this like super creepy hotel for the night, and then Mr. Potato Head wanders off and goes missing, and they have to like, basically just wander around and find him, and then one by one, like all the Toy Story gang gets like disappears, and basically ends up with like Jessie as like the final girl, and she runs into Combat Carl, who's voiced by Carl Weathers. And it's basically like he's basically like straight out of Predator, but like way more paranoid. And he talks like the third person. He's just like, "Comet Carl, Comet Carl has seen stuff, man. Comet Carl knows what's going on." He's like missing a hand. He's like, "This is like," and like just, and there's also like a mini Comet Carl. Like he's like, "It's my little buddy, Comet Carl Jr." and basically the hotel guy is like stealing toys and like, selling them on eBay. So like basically it turns out like he captures like the entire gang and like it's selling them on eBay, and they have to figure out a way to like escape and get back to Bonnie. But it was real like super great. Like Comet Carl was like instantly like a classic Toy Story character. I want to see like I want to see even more Toy Story movies than do like Toy Story 4 or something. And some really like fun they do a parody of like super cheesy old school like 50s horror movies in the beginning, like because when they're watching it's like this like it's like Dracula mixed with like Night of the Living Dead.
Interesting.
And then just like in this like typical Pixar is like super well done, super funny. I don't know if it's gonna be on again before Halloween, but if you get a chance to check it out, I'd say definitely check it out. And then as far as movies go, I think first and foremost, I have to talk about Escape Plan.
Oh, you saw that?
Yeah, I saw it like midnight on Thursday last week. And you know, I'm a little disappointed by it, because I was hoping that like the combo of Stallone and Schwarzenegger would be better than like their solo movies they did. So like Last Stand and Bullet to the Head, I thought like them combined would like make like a slightly better than those. I would say it's kind of just like on par with those. Like it's not bad. It's like a fun. It's still fun, but it's not like a action classic or anything. It's not like going to be like. It's not like the epic pairing that we were hoping for. I mean, Stallone and Schwarzenegger are great together. Schwarzenegger is actually, I would say the main reason to go see it is Schwarzenegger, because Arnold is just like, he's kind of like the comic relief to like Stallone's straight man. Because like Stallone's doing his like usual thing he's been doing with like every movie so far in like the later years. It's just like super grim and like, I've seen shit, man. I've done stuff. But Arnold's just like, wacky, like just like, one-liners all over the place, and, like, messing with everybody, and, like, he's like, oh, I'm the guy in prison who can get you everything, man. Let me do you a favor. And, yeah, so basically, like, the plot is that Stallone is, like, the world's greatest security expert, and, like, his job is, like, he puts himself in prison and, like, breaks out of prison, and then, like, tells the prison, like, what their weaknesses are. And so he gets this job that's, like, comes from the CIA, where they want him to, like, go into, like, this, like, super top-secret, like, off-the-books black prison, where they put, like, the worst prisoners from around the world. And so he agrees to do the job, and then he ends up in, like, this ridiculous, like, high-tech prison with, like, glass cells and, like, scanners, and the guards all wear, like, face masks. You can't see, like, who they are. And basically it turns out he got set up because the warden who he thought was the warden is not the warden. It's Jim Caviezel, who's like this like evil, sadistic warden. Who basically is like, oh, well, you're here forever now. And so Stallone and Schwarzenegger have to figure out a plan to get out and figure out who set him up and stuff.
Figure out their escape plan.
Exactly.
Did they even say that during the movie?
Actually, I think do they? I'm sure they say escape plan at some point.
I don't know, you're the one who saw it, Zach. So.
But I mean, basically, once you get to the prison, it kind of turns into, like, if you've seen, like, I don't know, like, Escape from Alcatraz, you know, like, classic Clint Eastwood movie, or, like, any sort of, like, other, like, prison movies, it kind of turns into that, where it's, like, talking to people to, like, get them on your side, and, like, trading stuff, and, like, figuring out, like, what we could, like, fake a fight so you get thrown into solitary and figure out, like, how you can get out of solitary, and, like, talk to the prison doctor and, like, have him get on your side so he can, like, send something, a message out for you and stuff. So, like, a lot of, like, classic, like, jail movie tropes are in it. But it's a little long. It's, like, 2 hours long, and, like, the middle kind of, like, goes over the same sort of stuff over and over again. Like, it's, like, Jim Caviezel wants to know, like, because the reason Arnold's in jail is because he worked with this guy named Mannheim, who's basically kind of like this Robin Hood sort of guy, who's like robbing rich people and like giving it to the poor people. And so they like basically Jim Caviezel like is getting paid by some other people to like find out where this guy is, so again like they can capture him and like stop him. And so that's like basically why Arnold's in jail right now. And they basically just keep there's a lot of like going back and forth like, where's this guy? It's like, I'm not going to tell you. It's like, tell me where this guy is. And another thing that's kind of, like, weird about it is that it has, like, this, like, crazy cast, and they basically don't do nothing with anybody else besides Schwarzenegger and Stallone and Jim Caviezel. Because you have, like, Amy Ryan and 50 Cent and, like, Sam Neill. Like, Sam Neill's the prison doctor, but he doesn't really do anything. And then, like, Amy Ryan and 50 Cent are, like, Stallone's team on the outside, and they do literally nothing.
They're the terrible support team.
All I do is find out the name of the prison that Stone's in. That is it. Which I 50 Cent is not. I don't know if you can really waste 50 Cent, but like Amy Ryan, like why would you get Amy Ryan in this movie and like not have her do anything?
They just like wasting talent.
But actually, like Jim Caviezel is pretty awesome in this movie. Like I'm not really a big Jim Caviezel fan. Like
not a fan of really. Jesus.
Or, like, Person of Interest, or, like, anything else he's done. But, Yeah, he is, like ridiculously funny. It's, like, this, like, super, super evil, like, sadistic, but also kind of, like, weirdly, like, fussy and, like, weirdly, like, a little bit OCD, like, Warden. He's always, like, just, like, having, like, people get, like, tortured or beaten in front of him, but then he's also, like, his hobby's, like, mounting butterflies and, like, collecting bugs.
It's always like, another trope where it's, like, you have to be really crazy and then have, like, a really weird soft hobby. Where it's, like, I play classic piano or collect weird shit like that.
He listens to classic music and, like collects, like, butterflies. And he's always, like, never without, like, a suit or, like, a suit vest or, like, he's always, like, super dressed up. And then, oh, and also, like, Vinnie Jones is, like, his, like, basically his, like, second in command. It's, like, he's, like, a super sadistic, like, prison guard. So it's, like, this really weird, like, mix of, like, Academy Award nominees and then, like, action movie, like, genre, like, regulars. And the end is really fun, too, because it's, like, a really, like, pretty good, like, escape action sequence shootout. I don't know. I mean, I would say maybe, like, if you want to see it in theaters, I would say maybe Matinee it. And then I would say definitely if you want to wait, like, definitely wait for it to be on. It's, like, maybe a really good rental on, like, DVD or Blu-ray when it comes out. Or, like, if you liked Last Stand, you like Bullet to Head, like, this is, like, basically on the same level as those, so.
Yeah, but I like, me and Joe like Bullet to Head a lot more than Last Stand, so where's that stand between those two?
I mean,
like, Bullet to Head was just pure action with very little message,
yeah.
And then Last Stand was, like, some action, but, like, a lot of messages going on.
I mean, Escape Plan is, like, it's definitely, like, fun classic Arnold. So I'd say it's worth watching just for that. Actually, there's a crazy sequence where, like, he's, like, in solitary and, like, he's trying to be, like, a distraction for Stallone. Because Stallone's, like, trying to, like, go in, like, this underground passage. And he's, like, Arnold does this, like, crazy, like, rant in Austrian. This, like, crazy, like, religious, like, Austrian rant. And he's, like, I don't know what you're doing, but I don't really give a shit. But, like, it's, like, this 5-minute, like, Austrian rant from Arnold, which is, like, craziness. Yes, I mean, it's same Stallone for, like, Bullet to Head, but it's, like, a funner Arnold than Last Stand, so I'd say, if I was going to rank them, I would say Escape Plan, Bullet to the Head, Last Stand. So, yeah, so I saw that. And also in theaters, I also saw Captain Phillips, which I don't know if you've heard the reviews or the hype about that one, Chris, but I would say it kind of lives up to that. It's a fantastic movie.
I heard it's, like, in a war between space gravity,
oh, yeah, like, back to back, and, like, there's, like, you could argue either of them is, like, one of the best movies of the year, or, like, the best movie of the year.
And I'm also hearing a lot about the people who aren't Captain Phillips during that incident are, like, really upset that Captain Phillips is, like 80% like fibs, or, like, the truth is really, like,
I don't know where the truth is. Like, his crew's, like, suing him because they're, like, no, he was an asshole who, like, basically was, like, trying to prove, like, how tough he was by going to Somalia.
Yep. That's the one I'm thinking of. Like, I read that report where, like, no, he was actually, like, a dick. And when he got taken out, we're kind of like, we told you. Like,
yeah.
And the movie's like, we told you so, the movie, if it was, like, the true version.
There's, like, a little hint of that in, like, the movie. Because there's one scene where, like, basically, I'm sure everyone's hopefully heard, like, knows, like, what the story of this was, but, like, basically, back in 2009, there was this American cargo ship called the Maersk Alabama that got hijacked by pirates, Somalian pirates, and it took the captain, hostage, and then we had this, like, crazy naval, operation to get him back that ended with, like, this, Navy SEAL, like, synchronized sniper shot that, like, rescue him. But yeah, so basically, in the movie, so they're, their route takes them from, like, I think it's like Dubai to like somewhere in like the Sudan or something, like along like the western coast of Africa, and then going along Somalia, which is like just full of pirates, and there have been like a ton of pirate attacks. So they basically, when they get to like Somali waters, they like they get to have like two pirate boats. They manage to like outrun them, the first time, and then after the first time, everyone's just like, well, we didn't send them to like fight pirates. And then like just one scene where like Tom, like Ken Phillips played with Tom Hanks, is like, well, you knew we were going into these waters when you signed up, so what'd you expect to do? Like, you didn't expect pirates to show up if we were not in pirate-infested water? Like, you like...
You know, like, I think the reality was, like, they said, hey, let's take a different course. He's like, fuck them, let's stay this course.
Yeah. It's also kind of weird, too, because, like, they were, like, there's, like, you could... In the movie, there's, like, they show, like, the... Because they call, like, the British, like, Maritime Security Center or something that's in, like, Dubai, and... They show like the radar, and like the radar has like this, like you can see like the channel that has like all the like shipping traffic going through, and they're like off and like miles off of the main channel or something for some reason. So it's kind of
That's because it was faster to go
that
route.
That's kind of why they got targeted, because like the pirates also had radar, and like, well, we can't attack like a herd, so let's like attack like this lone ship that's up there. But yeah, so eventually the pirates do take over the ship, and then, I was actually surprised, like, how long they were actually just on the ship itself. Like, the whole middle of the movie is just, like, them, like, Tom Hanks, like, kind of, like, trying to, like, keep them away from his crew and, like, help, like, lead them to the ship, but also, like, trick them and keep them away from, like, where his crew is hiding in the engine room. And it's kind of like this, like, super realistic, like, I don't know, under siege or something, where it's, like, trying to, like, they take over a ship, and now you kind of like have to figure out like how to get them off the ship.
See, I thought it would be like a super version of like the opening scene of Expendables, where the Somalian pirates take over the ship and they show up.
Yeah, there's no, like Dolph Lundgren with like a giant grenade launcher coming up or anything.
Yep.
What's he doing? Hanging a pirate. Hey, Gunner, what you doing? Hanging a pirate. But yeah. It's a super well done thriller, dramatic thriller of like real events. It actually does a really awesome job of like kind of like showing both sides. You get a really good sense of like why the pirates are doing it and like who the pirates are too. So it's not just one dimensional like evil pirates. They're like just like frothing at the mouth and like being like ridiculously evil. Like they're actually real characters as well. So it's a good balancing act of like showing like what the pirates are doing and like, why they're doing it, and then like also like giving you like a sense of like Captain Phillips as well.
Yeah, they try to do like a Game of Thrones like try to pity every character kind of thing. Where they try to like establish drama. Yeah, it's just, like, do you care about the villain? Do you care about the hero?
It's just balanced. It's like really balanced. Like it's not like they could have easily admitted like, man, these evil Somali pirates, like, what the hell are they doing? Like, fucking America. We're gonna take you down, Somalia. But yeah, I would say definitely in my top 10. Definitely worth checking out. Go see if you have a chance. Then I just caught up with, I went on a Redbox spree. There's a couple movies I wanted to see that came out on Redbox while we were at New York Comic Con. And a couple came out this week, so I just kind of like grabbed a bunch and watched them. So I finally saw This Is the End.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen that yet, Chris?
Nope, I wanna. So I'll spoil it.
Yeah,
it
is. It is fucking hysterical. Like,
I've heard mixed reviews for it.
Like, if you're a fan of even one of the guys in the movie, like you should definitely just go out and get it right now, because it's like they're all they're all just, like, themselves, but, like, super, like, hyper-real versions of themselves. And it's just, like, the situation they get into, and, like, there's, like, a ton of us, like, conversations that just keep going and going and getting more and more ridiculous. And, tons of cameos in the beginning, and then everyone gets murdered. Yeah, and you, so So you got, like, James Franco, you got Seth Rogen, you got Jay Baruchel, you got Craig Robinson, Danny McBride, and Jonah Hill. And basically what the premise is that Jay Baruchel flies into Los Angeles to visit Seth Rogen. Because, like, even though, like, Jay is, like, in movies, he basically hates Los Angeles and never, like, is only there for work and then, like, goes back to Canada. So he's coming to visit Seth, and they go to James Franco's house for a party, and then at the party, just, like, tons of people, like, coked out Michael Cera, and, like, Aziz Ansari, and, like, Jason Segel, and Rihanna, and all these other people are there, and then the apocalypse happens. And then it's basically, like, those six guys are, like, trapped in James Franco's house, and they have to survive.
Like, I don't want to spoil it too much, because I really want to see it, I just haven't the time to. Yeah. But, like, it just, like, it's like the apocalypse happens, but there's so much shit going on, like, outside of the house that you can't tell exactly what caused it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's really a spoiler to say it. It's the biblical apocalypse. So it's like the rapture and everything that happens along with that.
Okay, that's fine. I'm just saying, because it's like, from what I saw, it's kind of like, it seems like the Earth exploding, like, and aliens, then it could have been any one of those things, and it would have been fine.
And then,
Don't spoil it.
There's just, like, a ton of ridiculous stuff that happens. Like, at one point, Johnny Hill gets possessed by a demon, and then, like, they have to go, like, find food, and there's, like, demons running around, and, like, Danny McBride doesn't even show up till, like, the next day. Like, it's, they had the party, and then the next morning, like, Danny McBride wakes up, like, no one knew he was there. And he just wakes up in the bathtub and, like, makes, like, basically wastes all their food making breakfast. And they're like, what the hell did you just do? He's like, I made breakfast for everyone. And it's just, like, just a ton of just, like, hilarious, like, conversations and, like, them, like, yelling at each other. And, like, and there's, like, they get into, like, probably the funniest thing I've, like, in the movie was, like, they get into argument. Because, like, Danny McBride and James Franco get this argument, like, who, like, used, like, Danny McBride, like, used, like, James Franco's porno mag. It's like, who's in my porno mag? And then Danny McBride's like, you live in a house with iPads in the walls, and you're jerking off like a goddamn caveman. So yeah, I mean, it's just like, it's them, it's basically like those guys trying to survive, and it's just like, and then it gets, escalates into like more and more ridiculous stuff. So yeah, if you're a fan of like, even one of the guys in the movie, like, just go check it out. It's awesome.
I mean, my main selling point was like them convincing other actors to like cameo in their movie.
Yeah, and then get horribly murdered in like the first 10 minutes.
It's like, oh, we're not really gonna pay you. We're gonna have like a drink and maybe a sandwich, and then that's it for you. You're in this movie.
Yeah. And then also from Redbox, I watched After Earth, which was so goddamn awful.
I don't know why you watched that, like, and you wasted the red box, right?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of just want to see it for, like, end of year
history.
Yeah, so say I saw it and then, and never see it again and tell everyone not to see it.
I think everyone figured that out the first week.
Yeah, it is. It's so awful. Like, I don't even know where to start. It's like, take Will Smith, who's like, and then make him dead, like immobilize him so he can't move, and then make him emotionless so he doesn't, like, has, like, no charisma at all. It's like, so that's mistake one. Cast his son, who is awful, and then have him be the main star. That's strike two. M. Night Shyamalan directs it, so that's strike three. Have a super dumb plot.
Well, the fact that it's, like, Earth and none of this, like, none of the Earth looks like modern Earth,
but there's like no buildings. They're just like in like the Pacific Northwest or something, and there's in like forests.
Yeah, like where is this where you don't see any structures?
Yeah. And at least like Oblivion had like noticeable landmarks, and it was like
debris. Like that's something that
like,
is common.
It felt like abandoned like apocalyptic Earth. Like this is just like they were like like they like a camping trip to like Oregon or something. And then it's like, but then it's like, then like, oh man, like evolution's taken over and all these animals are here. It's like they're not crazy. It's like monkey. It's like monkeys who are like slightly more vicious than normal, and then like a giant bird, and like maybe like some like what the hell else is it? Some it's like deer or something.
Saber-tooth tiger.
Yeah, it's like and like tigers or something.
My thing was
it's like
your people are from space, and
it's like thousands of years after we left Earth, like because we had to leave Earth, and like it's like a thousand years later. And it's,
I'm saying, like this. Think about this. They're in space. Yeah. They came back to Earth. This is like the hardest thing they can deal with. Like it didn't seem so bad. Like you could still breathe the air.
Actually, you can't breathe the air because now everyone's grown up on like this other planet, so like the atmosphere is different. So you have to like, take these like stupid like asthma like gel packs to like breathe properly.
Okay. Still stupid.
And then for some reason, like they're. Like Will Smith and his son like adopted these like horrible accents. I guess they're like future accents.
Future accents.
And it's like maybe like Caribbean or something. I don't know what the hell they're trying to do. It's like vaguely British, but not really British. And then there's like this like really stupid like backstory of like so they went to like this new planet and then this evil alien race like unleashed like these creatures on them because I guess they wanted to like kill us or something. And the creatures they unleashed are like they're blind, they sense like fear.
Yeah, once I read that, I was like,
Will Smith is like he somehow was able to like mask his like he's a ghost. So
he's ghosting. Oh my god.
And then like
I read that and I was like, I fuck this movie.
And then, like, the whole thing is, like his son is, like, super emotional, and then it's, like, oh, but can he, like, overcome, like, can he become, like, his father and, like, control his fear and stuff? And the answer is yes.
Spoiler alert, he does.
Like, it's, like, pretty much instantly, too. He's just, like, all right, I'm a ghost now. And then he kills the evil alien.
They can't see me.
Yeah.
And, like, I saw that coming miles away. I think the twist would have been like if Will Smith was dead and the rest he was left was recordings, kind of like the end of Iron Eagles.
Well, Chappie was still alive, somehow.
Exactly, it's the same fucking movie.
It would have been way better if Luke Gossett Jr. was in the movie.
Oh my god! Hey, it's me.
Chappie.
It's Chappie. By the way, don't be afraid.
Yeah. Listen,
aliens
listen
somehow
some,
control Earth.
Listen to some. Oh god, what the hell was the name of that band? Like Spencer Davis Group.
The Allman Brothers. Yeah. Some kind of
King
Allman
Cobra. So yeah, I would say do not watch After Earth.
I guess watch it, but be very like warned that you're not going to enjoy
it. It's going to be on like, Captain Phillips is on my top 10. After Earth is going to be on my bottom 5, for sure. Along with like Pan and Gain and White House Down.
Painting game.
I feel like that's going to be like all of our worst movie of the year. Like that's our number one worst movie of the year.
I don't know. I kind of like Painting Game. I didn't like enjoy it. I like the fact that certain parts are funny. It's weird because it was a dark comedy.
It didn't murder me, so that was good. Michael Bay didn't come in like slap me across the face with a dildo or anything. So that was fun. Although he might as well have.
Microsoft Code of Michael Bay. Yeah, slap me again. I like it.
And a couple other movies. I saw The Frozen Ground, which is the latest from Nicolas Cage. And it's based on a true story, like crime thriller or crime drama, but based on these crimes that occurred in Alaska. There was a serial killer going around killing girls and then like burying them in like the frozen like tundra. And then the police would like uncover these bodies and like not know like they were like horribly frozen, decomposed, and, like would not know who did it or what. So Nicolas Cage is like the detective trying to figure out who killed these girls, and then John Cusack is the serial killer. And it's weird because I think their insanity cancels each other out because they're both actually like legitimately acting in this movie. Like I would say this is the best Nicolas Cage performance. In like an actual like good Nicolas Cage performance.
since, like...
Maybe Las Vegas or something?
Maybe yeah, Las Vegas, yeah. Which is, like, everyone's go-to movie for, like, a good Nicolas Cage movie. Or, like, Moonstruck. Or, like, you know, like, really yeah. weird
or, like, younger movies. In it.
I don't remember seeing that movie, but... I heard that was good, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's actually pretty great. And then there's a ton of, like, awesome, like, that guy is in it as well. Like, Dean Norris is his partner. And there's, like, Kevin Dunn and, like, a bunch of other people. John Cusack is, like, super creepy in it. And he's, like, this, like, kind of, like, upstanding, like, he runs, like, you know, has, like, a bunch of local businesses and, like, everyone in town loves him. But then he's also, like, this, like, super horrible, like, creepy, like, sexual predator slash murderer. Yeah, and then it's just, like, yeah, so basically the whole movie is just, like, Nicolas Cage trying to, like, figure out if John Cusack did it or not, and then take him down. I would say, like, if you're a fan of, like, crime dramas, like, I don't know, Zodiac or something, or Seven, or something along that lines, like, it's definitely worth checking out.
How's the pacing in that movie?
It's good. I mean, it's not, like, action-packed, like, shootouts or anything, but it's just a good, like, solid, like, investigation movie.
Yeah, but does it take forever to be like, I found the proof, and now I need to prove to everyone who, like, they don't believe?
I mean, yeah, I mean, Nicolas Cage, like, well, the main thing is, like, Vanessa Hudgens is, like, escapes from John Cusack, and so she's, like,
the main witness. Yeah, she's the only survivor.
And so, like, Nicolas Cage is convinced that, like, yeah, John Cusack is the murderer, but then everyone else is like, well, we can't just go out on the word of this hooker. And then, like, and so, like, you need more evidence. So then it's, like, they're trying to get evidence, but then, like, John Cusack is, like, hiding it and, like, or, like, destroying it, and they're trying to, like, get to him before they do it. And then, like, he's also, like, this, like, super, like, upstanding citizen in town. Like, he's, like, donating money all over the place, and, like, everyone's, like, really likes him. So everyone's just, like, there's no possible way that guy could do that. So, but yeah, it's definitely super, super solid crime drama if you want to check it out. And then the last thing I watched The Colony, which is another kind of, like, indie direct-to-DVD movie that came out. It stars Lawrence Fishburne and Belle Paxton. I don't know, have you heard of this one or seen this one, Chris?
Nope.
It's like a post-apocalyptic, like, sci-fi horror action movie. And basically the premise is that sometime in the future, there's these weather-controlling stations that get invented and built. I guess it was kind of trying to kind of stop global warming, or, like, kind of, like, figure out a way to, like, grow crops better or something like that. But they go haywire and basically, like, just throw the entire Earth into, like, an ice age.
Well, I think I might have seen this, but I thought it was, like, coming to theaters, but I guess not.
Nope, I think it came out last week on DVD, actually. Yeah, so, like, now, like, the entire Earth is frozen. There's, like, pretty much no way you can survive on the surface. So now everyone's, like, kind of, like, found all these, like, underground,
yeah, stuck
underground
where they
shelters
are.
And, like, trying to, like, make society. Kind of like the, like, Fallout vaults or something like that, where, like you're basically underground trying to, like, make societies. And so, like, Lawrence Fishburne and Bill Paxton and all of our other people are in, like, Colony 5, and then they get the stress call from Colony 7. And so, like, Lawrence Fishburne takes, like, a couple of guys out to, like, go investigate what happened, or, like, what's going on at Colony 7. It turns out, like, everyone just went completely insane and basically turned to cannibals. So now it's like, kind of turns to like a zombie movie, but it's not really, or like, kind of like The Crazies more, because like they're not zombies, but they're just like crazed humans. And.
But they seem like functional humans. Like, they seem like the people from Doomsday.
I mean, they don't talk or anything. They're just like, yelling, okay. And like, kind of more like The Crazies, where they're just like,
Crazies had, like, a weird thing where, like, they were somewhat, yeah, they understood what's going on, but I mean, they didn't, you know?
They're using weapons, and they're butchering. They have their basic, like, human functions, but they're just, like, crazed cannibals now. And anyone who's not them is, like, food. So, basically, like, the whole, like, the movie is, it's kind of like two mini-movies in one, because the first one is, like, them trying to escape from, like, Colony 7, and then, like, then when they get back to their, like, their Colony 5, it's, like, now they have to prevent them from, like, breaking into Colony 5, because they follow them there. So it's kind of like a escape movie for the first half, and then like an attack defend movie in the second half.
Right.
And it was actually, I mean, I don't know what the budget of it, but I mean, it looks pretty great. There's like the setting and everything is really well established, and like all sets look pretty awesome. Lawrence Fishburne's great in it. Bill Paxton is like pretty great, even though he's like a huge, huge asshole. Like, he's the guy who's always just like, well, we gotta look out for ourselves and kill anyone who's not us. And if there's also like this thing of like, there's not a lot of medicine, and there's like this weird like flu going around. So they're like basically, if someone gets sick, it could like cause like the entire county to get killed. So like, Bill Paxton's like, anyone gets sick, we should just send them out or kill them right now. And then basically like he tries to like take over the colony at some point, and he's just like the huge like asshole like fend for yourself guy.
Cool. You need one of those in every like post-apocalyptic movie.
Yeah. So I would say that one definitely worth checking out too if you're a fan of like sci-fi and horror. For like especially like it's super well made for like I don't know, it definitely could have come out in theaters and it would have been like totally fine, I think. Like I think it's better than like some of the other movies that came out in theaters, like oh crap, what was that one? Do you remember that one? Like, oh yeah, Pandorum. You remember that one, Chris?
Oh my god. The twist and ending in that
was like stupid.
I saw stupid, like, hey, guess what? Dennis Quaid, you're actually like super crazy. It's like, yeah. And then the twist in that was like, oh, the monsters were just people. Like, yeah. What?
So, yeah, the comedy is definitely way better than that one. That one actually came out in theaters. So, yeah, I would say, I mean, pretty much everything I've recommended, like everything except After Earth, I would say definitely go check out.
It's weird. You had this theme going on of like good, crappy, decent.
I mean, everything was good, except for After Earth.
I don't know.
Escape Plan was a little disappointing, but it's still fun. Kathy Phillips is one of the best movies of the year. Further Ground's really good.
Well, that was Oscar baby written all over.
I'm sure Tom Hanks can get Oscars for that one because he is pretty goddamn great in that movie. I mean, as usual from Tom Hanks. So, yeah, I think that's pretty much it for this week's show. Anything else you can think of, Chris?
No, I think we covered a lot. Somehow, again, we delve into random topics.
As usual.
Again, I can't believe we got to Val Helsing. We remembered it so vividly.
It's scarred into our brains.
It is.
So, anyway, if you want more from us, you go to www.everythinginternet.com. Definitely head over there and check out all of our New York Comic Con stuff. We have organized into like an actual a series, so you can just click on the series link and then see all 10. We have 9 podcasts of our various interviews, and then also a picture thread or picture post, which is just like I don't know how many pictures, like at least 100 pictures, if not more.
Maybe 200. It's a lot of
pictures. Well, just like everything we saw there. So definitely check all that stuff out. And then you can also head over to Facebook, facebook.com/everythinginaction for our Facebook page, twitter.com/EVAction for Twitter, everythingaction.tumblr.com is our Tumblr. We put a bunch of stuff on there. Contact@everythingaction.com is our email address. You can also find us on iTunes by searching for Everything Action and subscribe to the podcast in there. Rate us, leave us some comments, leave us some reviews. You can also get us on Stitcher, stitcher.com. You can stream us, download us on there. Just search for us on there, and you should be able to find us. And I think that's it. So for Chris, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.